And that night will embroider the waters of my soul with its gossamer whatnots and redemptive promise in great godlike loops. And my heart will at last untangle, and my mind will unfurl like a flag of soft lightning. The flame will lower, the storm will cease, the dreaming will start, the infinite morning will begin at last.
I had always wanted to focus solely on, to experience completely, that time in early evening after the last swallows have flown and before the first bats arrive. Just once, I wanted to see the very first bat appear at twilight, like some evening star's first gleam. I had always missed the first bat's appearance as well as the first stars, and just as I always noticed the even star unexpectedly, maybe after I had been visible for some time, when I set out to find the evening bats, even as early as an hour before sunset, several of these twilight creatures appeared among the swallows. But my hour alone with the swallows and bats did eventually occur. On March 24th, 1989, in Dunkirk, on Good Friday, after a night of continual choruses from Lenten processions broadcast from PA systems from churches throughout the town, and a day of writing alone out in a vacant lot by the abandoned Marsh Valve plant, I decided to avoid the choruses, and sitting in that old forgotten place surrounded by old valve castings and horsetail weeds, I resolved I will stay until the bats come. At first there were only swallows. For some time there had been swallows, and in an otherwise empty sky above this no man's land, and when the first bat finally appeared, it fluttered over the small blue chicory flowers amidst the rubble, as if greeting them, and I remembered a gull's shadow flitting over my writing paper. The bats came on like a soccer team warming up for a game, while the swallows kind of set out further over the field, as if one team were making way for the next, and the initial bat had come to announce the change. The first few bats were kind of still practicing. Their game had not really begun, as in the distance, on PA systems, the choruses continued. And in the meantime, their playing field, the sky over the abandoned lot, was completely empty. Finally empty of swallows, but not yet taken over by the bats, still preparing for their entry. The sky was empty, but filled with expectation. Here and there a bat whizzed by across the playing field in short, rapid zigzags, as if teasing the audience and heightening the tension. A few last swallows returned yet again, as if from far away and kind of searching for something left behind, while sparrows chirped even more softly, and the choruses from the now visible town swelled up, to be transcended at nightfall by a woman's voice singing an ecstatic dirge.
Sometimes,
high above it all,
sometimes when I slide,
floated a threnody,
slide into my bed,
to which the bat, now out in full force,
and I pour in like milk.
drew their sharply bent lines.
In petals.
Across the darkening sky.
And lay down my knotted face upon that bittersweet lace. Hug my twisted beams of hands within the sheets against my sides. I tingle. I burn in delicious tingle because I'm feeling like a child. Pink, trusting, and it lasts a full minute sometimes, and it is fucking heaven. I hope that dying is like the way your bare legs feel when they yawn and stretch and slip like fish into the sheets.
The long blue ache of night, the howl of blown about stars, the silent moon, the lonely bruise of it twiddled between fingers. We play with night, we try to befriend it, birds and bricks and bastards alike. I miss New York tonight.
Nights follow each other, are linked, are continuous, are the innermost part of our being. This is how we fall back. Night is a place wherein we bathe, are nourished, are created, made, where we accomplish our being, where we recover our strength. Night is a place. Night is a being in which we rest, in which we are restless. Where we end, where we collect ourselves, and where we enter again, and we come out refreshed.
Night is a beautiful creation. Now why don't we make use of it? You don't sleep at night? Night is for you to see and know, to see what being means, what this being called night is.
Night, it is that continues. And it is the days that are discontinuous. It is the days that pierce, that disrupt the night. And in no way the nights interrupt day. It is day that troubles night with its noise. Otherwise night would sleep. And the solitude and silence of night is so beautiful and so great that it surrounds and corners and buries the days themselves, that it makes a great enclosure around the restlessness of days.
All nights together meet and join as in a beautiful round, as in a dance of nights holding each other by the hand, whereas lean days make nothing more than a procession in which hands are not joined.
Nights all together meet and join the borders of days, hold out their hands to each other above the days, form a chain, and more than a chain, a round, a dance. Nights grasp each other's hands above the day, from morning till night, leaning one towards the other. The one coming down from the preceding day leans back. The one going up to the next day leans forward. And both join hands. They join their silence and their shadow and their humility and their great solitude above difficult borders. Wrists tied to wrists. All the nights, one after another, together constitute night. And the days, one after another, together, do not constitute day.
Because they are nothing but lean days that do not hold hands now, just as life, earthly life, in a big general way, is only a passage between two borders, an opening between the night before and the night after a day, an opening between the night of darkness and the night of light. So, in a small way, each day is an opening.
A day. Not only between the night before and the night after, between the borders, but as children see it, as children sense it, in the night, in one and the same night, where being recruits itself deep in the night, it is night that is continuous. Where being recruits itself, it is the night that forms one long continuous text, an endless continuous text where days are nothing but days, opening only like days, that is, like holes, in a stuff where there is open work, in an open work text. It is night that is the all's great black wall, where days open only like windows, with a restless and flickering and perhaps a false light. Where the days open only like days, where days open like attic windows. Because it must not be said that the chain of times is comparable to an endless chain in which link follows link, in which ring follows ring. And days and nights are equal and follow each other in that same chain. One white ring, one black ring. Night hooking on to day, day hooking on to night. Because they are not equal, they do not share the same dignity on the chain.
It is night that is continuous. It is night that forms the text of time, the storehouse of being, and day looks out on that only through wretched windows and posterns. It is day that disrupts, and day looks out on that only through sorry, barred lights, as a day of suffering.
It is the day that rends. And days are like isles in the ocean, like interrupted isles that interrupt the ocean. But the ocean continues, and it is the isles that are wrong. And interrupted, they interrupt night. But no matter what they do, they themselves are immersed in night. Just as the ocean is the water supply, so is night the reserve of being. Night, you are the night. And all those days together are never the day. They are never anything but days sown. Those days are never anything but lights, uncertain lights, and all in night are a great dark light. Night It is you who calm. It is you who soothe. And it is you who put to rest the aching limbs, all disjointed by the day's work. It is you who calm. And it is you who soothe. And it is you who put to rest the burning hearts in hell, the battered bodies, the limbs broken by work, by trouble, and all of the day to day.
Knight! You know how to hold your peace! You of the beautiful mantle! You who shed rest and oblivion! You who shed balm and silence and darkness! Starry Knight, you are the first! You who put to sleep! You who already, in an eternal darkness, bury each and every creature!
The most restless, the most spirited, the hardest working, and most of all, the monsters of restlessness, Night. You who succeed in putting to sleep all, that well of restlessness, the most restless in themselves than all of everything put together, just as water in a well is put to sleep, Night. Silent ones of the long veils, you by whom there comes to earth a foretaste. You who spread with your hands, you who shed on earth a first peace, a first rest, forerunner of complete rest, a first balm, so cool, a first beatitude, forerunner of the last beatitude, you who soothe, you who smell sweet, you who comfort, you who put hearts to sleep, you who put bodies to sleep, you enormous adventure, as the men of Joseph of Arimathea approach, bearing a white shroud.
That reminds me, when I was a small girl, I slept in my grandma's house in the middle bedroom. The wallpaper made me feel safe. It was worn and frayed, and the trails of tracing fingertips of my family lit it like some divine ant farm or a nocturnal garden of luminous outlines. I prayed each night. 1 year, when I was in Girl Scouts, I learned each letter of sign language, and so I said my nighttime prayer with my hands. It took much longer, but it meant more. I only did it a few times, but it was enough.
That reminds me. I once was a girl that laid out on the lap of the street most nights. In the soft lick of summer.
I spread open like a white nighty flower, a magnolia child on the tar. Paying the pebbles under my back, no, never mind. Running small fingers over the impressions, stones leave on the backs of my cats. Sending my eyes dreaming up into the stars. Sending my eyes dreaming up into the stars.
And what would happen as a result of that?
The shine it would bring in.
He knew
I had an impossible heart.
The star strength, the sobbed out tears,
and what would happen as a result of that? The shine it would bring in.
Spilled and snotty over some book stolen from the library.
The sobbed out tears on my twin white cheeks one night.
For the sake of luscious sadness.
And snotty over some book stolen from the library.
Innocent, silly tears running onto the small stones.
My first crime.
The starry night, it knew me from my hair, fanned out and dirty to my toes, clumped up and dirty too, and called me celestial chum.
Innocent, tears running onto the small stones.
Its very own tomboy for many, many more and brilliant years.
The starry night, it knew me from my hair, fanned out and dirty to my toes, clumped up and dirty too, and called me celestial chum in its very own tomboy. For many, many more and brilliant years.
Lying in bed, crap prowling, dream vagabonding, dirty thumb out to hitch a ride into my REMs. Somehow, I have managed to call down the butterflies from the ceiling. They make confetti-colored cones as they fold up and suck back into my chest. Make fronded, eager nests in there. Reverse their growth, their de-evolution back into pupa and into the long, fat things they once were with potential. And this is so much more exciting. Like love. Like dreams. Realization leaves us empty. Our minds no more clinging to what could happen. And then we float like a delicious spore. And we are gone. We were never there. I am gone. I was never here. And any words and thoughts and jokes and tantrums cannot change that fact. Amniotic, spatial, liquid and air, nothing solid, nothing to hold. Are we things floating along, awkward, always and forever bumping into other things? Are we butterflies? Are we things eaten by gods and have no choice in any matter? Do we matter? Are we matter? Are we butterflies? The laughter of the gods winds around and around my doomed spore of a life.
and all your charms. Whenever I want you, all I have to do is dream. Dream, dream, dream when I feel blue in the night, and I need you to hold me tight.
Welcome back to Dr. Monica's Dream Lab. On the line from Louisville, Kentucky. What's on your mind tonight, Juan?
Last night I dreamt I was taking an advanced standardized test. However, the proctors were either my fourth grade teacher or Mrs. Hicks, a piano instructor from my preteen years. Very unsettled. I do remember that at one point I walked around the dream and lost track of my test booklet. Drama. And in the midst of this, I told myself, this is just a dream you can wake from. And so I did.
Saved by your own subconscious bell. Always interesting when we can raise ourselves from a stressful dream, a dream of
last
fear.
Last night, I dreamt. And in my dream, the waitress said, this is Hoke, and set down what seemed a beautiful crusty berry pie. I was surprised while slicing into it, only to discover it was made out of hornet's nest. There was a wiggle on my fork, and the alarm woke me.
Or bees. They say that if you see a hornet's nest in your dream, it represents a lingering threat or a bitter confrontation that you should avoid. It sounds to Dr. Monica Wan like you should avoid pie.
Before falling asleep, I thought a painting is just a reservoir, a battery, a storage cell for thought, not trying to say anything, mostly a thing with potential energy to peak, to engage the organ above the neck. And then I slept.
I do think, in some way, that the thoughts that we have before falling asleep, such as your thought about a painting being a reservoir or a battery, a storage cell for thought, I think you said, I believe that these things are actually pre-dream dreams. They're dreams that we have about the dream that we're about to encounter in our asleep life, but they're almost in our waking life. They're sort of in between dream dreams. I feel as though a painting is the perfect symbolism for the creation and the creativity of your subconscious. Obviously, you have huge artistic sensibilities inside of you. And if you're having a pre-dream dream about artistic sensibility and creativity and how you hold that as a battery and a storage cell for your brain, I think it's an amazing, amazing thing that can teach you so much about your life if you let that happen. So it's very, very beautiful that you have that, and I feel quite certain that after you had that pre-dream dream, that you probably had a wonderful, wonderful kaleidoscope and panorama of just amazing, creative sort of, I think you'd work in oils personally, just having spoken to you on Dr. Monica's Dream Lab. I feel like oils might be your medium in your dreams about painting.
When friends drop by, an electric gypsy in my left arm tingles, glints like a sunfish. Sitting where the tree forks, Abigail Blue rings, Romeo and Julietta clenched between her baby teeth, I can only smell it to this day. And in this dream, I'm working, welding, going to school, in the studio, surveying through thick rough, doing all the jobs I've ever held, all at the same time. Some people are plants and summer objects talking to me. Rarely do they drive tonight. My eyes aren't working so well. And this seems to be a sticking point in regard to progress.
Now I lay me down to sleep.
Dear God, let me sleep. Will this prayer be heard if it's not written in the air with my hands? Are you listening to me? I am a girl. I like you. I think we are friends.
I pray the Lord my soul to keep.
Keep me from losing my mind tonight. Keep my thoughts from breaking loose like ice with cold intent. Keep me from the knife of last week.
If I should die before I wake,
I won't mind so much if I get arms big, blue, amazing, wide. If I get my blue brother, the sky.
I pray the Lord my soul.
My soul, the thing that makes me a renegade fuckwit, that makes me love everyone too much. And all the animals and everything, so it hurts. The thing you need to take and maintain.
To take.
Take me.
Take.
If I should live another day.
An everlasting morning, a blushing, embarrassed, proud sky, a lady giving birth to another day.
I pray the Lord.
I pray you. You, the Lord, divine keeper of my fear. You, robber of my dreams, you, infinite wonderland of love and torment, you, my soul,
to guide my way.
My way is not the highway. My way is the pebbled path of concerns, of reckonings, of beseechings, of mornings that save and redeem and promise another night.
Another fight for peace.
Give me peace. Please.
Please, give me peace.
Give me peace.
If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul.
What so proudly we I was a
constant, some people are peasants and some objects are talking. Rarely do we draw the night. The odds are so well, this seems to be a sticking point. The worst of a race in my being. Once only I saw friends as hit in large space lines. And then I cried at the post office German shepherds. In the dark, early hour brought cops up to me and the last word I heard when friends drove an electric gypsy.
when he awakened, he is holding my breast, and I ask him if that was why he passed out, just to hold my breast, and he says that that is what he wanted to do. I felt as though I revived him. My breast revived him. I woke up in Coco Bakery. It was dark, and even that would make me feel better. I search high and low for something to eat. I finally found something in a cabinet. It was cake truffles. I grab one and put the whole thing in my mouth, but quickly realize that it might be put away for an order. So I spit the cake truffle out of my mouth into my hand and put it back where I got it from, hoping Jess wouldn't notice. Okay. I have two recurring rings every year, usually only once a year. The first one is always about being caught in a tornado. I'm out in the country and my kids are little and I can see the big storm clouds coming and it's hard to move and we hunker down inside this old farmhouse while the storm rages around us. There's always multiple twisters visible and I am trying frantically to get to safety. Another one that I usually have on an annual basis is an end of the world scenario. It's a little different each time, but there are spectacular things happening in the sky. We have to wait till midnight or something before it happens and I remember the fear. The last one, though, I remember walking along the sidewalk on 14th Street, kind of by Andrew's old house, and I wasn't afraid but was kind of walking and bouncing in the air at the same time. My dreams tend to be icky rather than nice. The last dream I had was the other night and I was in a rollover crash and I woke up panicky. I think this should be from Anonymous. I sound like a fruit cake. One more I remember, it always had to do with being naked in church, always at Tiffany, and I would go to the basement and try and find something to wrap around me. Once in a while I would end up in an afghan. Beginning the night of my wedding and continuing for almost a week, I dreamed about a different person I loved, my father, my mother, my best friend, and maybe some others. In each dream, the person died. I saw my father hanging by rope around his neck. Someone was hit by a car, I think. I don't remember the other causes of death, but each one was different. I do remember that none of it has upset me in the dreams. It was more like, oh, okay. When I woke up each morning, I had to laugh because the symbolism was so obvious. My then new husband got a kick out of it too. We've been married for 47 years, which is the reason I've forgotten some of the details. Before the dream, about 45 years ago, my husband, Charles, became friends with the artist Patrick Hogan, who has a disease that Stephen Hawking has, a kind of muscular atrophy. It wasn't as far along as Hawking's condition, but he was a quadriplegic, emaciated, and of course he was in a wheelchair. I had met him, but I didn't go out with him because Patrick's physical condition terrified me. After they had gone out a number of times, Charles said that Patrick was wondering why I didn't join them, and that it was getting awkward. So I agreed to go to an art opening at UCLA with them. When we went to pick up Patrick, I moved into the back seat of our car and looked away as Charles lifted him out of the wheelchair and put him in the front seat. From the back seat, I couldn't see Patrick. The three of us had a lively conversation on the way to the opening, and by the time we got there, I was feeling pretty comfortable. I don't remember much about the rest of the evening, except that, since Patrick was in his portable wheelchair, he needed us to push him or he'd be stuck in one place. The dream, that night I dreamed I was at a party, and Patrick was across the room in his electric wheelchair. He came in my direction and stopped about 6 feet away. He smiled at me and said, "Do you want to see my chest?" I was very scared because I knew his chest would be skeletal. In the dream, I shut my eyes, hoping that would stop him or at least that I wouldn't have to see him open his shirt. Then after about 10 seconds, I felt him kiss me. The kiss wasn't sexual. It was very tender, gentle, and loving. When I opened my eyes, I saw him walking away. His back was towards me, but I could see that he was standing tall and was healthy. that was the end of the dream. After the dream, after that, my fur was gone, and Charles and I spent a lot of time with Patrick, some of it in the hospital as his disease progressed, some in intensive care, and most of it just having a good time. He was funny, smart, interesting, impressive, gracious, and kind, and we loved him. I can't begin to explain how knowing him changed me. For 4 nights in a row, about 4 years ago, I had versions of that dream where it was finally bedtime in college and there was a glass I'd totally forgotten about. I'd wake up so relieved that it wasn't real. On the fifth night, I dreamed that not only did I not take the glass, but the final exam had come and gone, and I had missed that as well. I went to see the professor in his office hours. He was Carl Bills, my husband's first art history professor, his longtime mentor, and our friend. Carl said he'd give me an assignment, and if I did it, that would be fine. The assignment was to take a comic book, cut out all the speech bubbles, and replace them with my own words. I was very cool with that. That was the end of the dream cycle. When I was an undergraduate at UC Berkeley, I was friends with Billy McBride. He was drunk. We knew her for 25 years. Then she did something very bad to us, after which she cut off our relationship. I tried to connect with her again, hoping to salvage the friendship, but it didn't work. The only way I can describe her was grief. When she was in bed, she woke up crying. She said she was coming to New York and would like to meet us. My husband was reluctant, but for what I think, he agreed. She didn't show up, and then at the last we returned home. All that I did was a good talk about her with her body. Then I dreamed I was at a party, and she walked up to me, smiling, with her arm bent over her. When she gave me, I crushed her. I don't have anything to do with you. After that, I dream, the grief lifted. When one day I'm up, I'm fine, and that I don't miss her anymore. 5 years old, I go, essentially, to the king.
because I don't know if it is firm, but I don't really care that I'm mad. I'm starting to like it under the bleed of the shoreline. And it's not on me in his head, and the media lens is suddenly straight backward. And I like a mountain with a front of him. Say out loud, if that's Uncle Dad, maybe it'd be harder to back then than I think. If you see him there, in that little door, if he'd be voted, the dogs came from here and gone good. I wonder what strange and unwanted hand color I am. But I don't know if I saw it. I even thought how I would do to keep this up. I wouldn't have thought I was crazy to judge that I do what I wanted. But I felt it would be my bomb again. Oh, she made it to love, and I would have told you this over my lifetime. I need good push. Anyway, how come that I was all in danger of changing the gear? I wondered if I could kill the look. In my grief, I no longer can tell those meaning that one reason for the women and the scum was really thick. Curiosity is the turn one question to turn. Mary Alice is something my own.